There you go.
Kind of ready? Go ahead and call this work session to order for the Fairfield Planning Commission on September 2nd. First order of business is roll call.
Kelton here.
Kyler here.
David here.
Jamie here.
Wayne here.
Where is Wayne?
He's in the magic box.
Can you not hear me?
Yeah.
We can hear you, Wayne.
We're just teasing.
Sorry, Wayne.
Okay. First item we have of business is presentation of the conditional use permit by Jim Sprung.
Go ahead, Jim. Sprung.
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 No R.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. Let me share my screen. Hopefully. Let's see. All right. More conditional use stuff.
Yes.
Are you guys fatigued from last week? All right. Well, I'll just hop in. Feel free to stop me if you have questions. I've got, let's see, I don't know, about 10 slides or so. Are you guys seeing the right one? Just the full slide view?
We don't know what the right one is, but I think so.
This is the one you did last week where you went the cup, the CUP, I think it's that.
There you go. Now we can see the slide.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
okay,
here
perfect.
We go.
Yeah.
Okay, so, so tonight I'm just going to do a brief overview of the proposed text amendments to the code, to the town code, to help incorporate a lot of the conditional use stuff that we talked about last week as part of the training. So, okay, so in April of this year, the town council passed the resolution 2026-2, which placed a moratorium on any conditional use permit. So it essentially said we're going to pause review of conditional uses until we have time to update the standards to make them more clear and consistent. So this proposal is in response to that previous resolution to help make the code more clear and so that you don't run into issues with applications that are coming in. So the proposed updates, and I'll run through these in a little more detail, really creates a comprehensive procedure for how the town reviews the conditional use permit. It clarifies what types of things an applicant has to submit, how it moves through the review process. It identifies who the decision maker is. So right now, and we'll talk about this as well, right now the Planning Commission is the decision-making authority for a conditional use request. This new draft shifts that to the town council. So the Planning Commission would still review the application, but it would be in an advisory role to the council. So you'd make a recommendation, and then the town council would make the decision as to yay or nay with that. And these are some of those bigger changes. So we've, you know, defined what steps you need to take to get the application completed and reviewed. A lot more thorough with what types of things the town needs to review the application. Like I mentioned, we've updated who reviews that. So the Planning Commission holds the public hearing and then would forward a recommendation to the council. And I'll go through a little bit more of the decision framework. We talked about that last week, in that the code has to explicitly lay out what the standard is, if there's an impact based on the land use that's proposed, what evidence or materials have been submitted, how that impact is being mitigated, and then what conditions might come from that analysis. And then we've also made a lot more clear what happens after you get a permit, what happens if you have enforcement issues, or if you abandon the use, if you want to appeal a decision. All that stuff is laid out more clearly here as well.
Jim, can you make that your main screen bigger? Because we're seeing your next slide and comments below.
Oh, okay. That's what we made.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
No, you're fine. Now I got four eyes working, but I needed another two. I was struggling.
All right, let me try this.
The
was having trouble.
What do you mean?
How's that? Is that better?
Yes, beautiful.
Okay, perfect. So as I mentioned, the decision making is shifted now. So the staff will do the review of the application when it's submitted. We'll make sure that it meets all the standards, that it's a complete application. You know, ask them for more technical information if it's warranted. Once we have all of that packaged and ready, we'll deliver that to the Planning Commission with a staff report and staff's findings and recommendations. At the Planning Commission meeting, there would be a public hearing, just like you normally have. And then you would forward that to the council, and then they, again, would make the decision. This is generally the process. So, and this is just more for your information. It doesn't necessarily affect your decision making, but the first step with any application is that if somebody wants to apply for a conditional use, they could contact town staff and ask them for a pre-application meeting. And similar to the SSD procedure, the pre-application meeting is a courtesy meeting that the staff can hold with the future applicant to say, you know, hey, this is the land use you want to have. These are the standards that we have. It's really just a high-level overview of what they can expect for the process. So that meeting would be the first step, and then they would get everything together, actually submit the application. The town staff would review it for completeness, make sure it's all there. We would then review the application, send it out to third parties. So, you know, the fire marshal would want to see it, you know, other entities if it's applicable. And then the public hearing, the council, and then the next step would be any compliance matters or repeals. So here, this will make a lot more sense when we get an actual application to review, because right now the current ordinances don't have a super clear process in place. So this makes it very clear as to what the next steps are with everything. As far as application materials, we've also expanded that to be more clear. So, you know, obviously they would need to submit the application form. If they're not the owner, an owner authorization form. They need a site plan, a narrative explaining exactly what they want to do on the property, the city map, any technical plans or visual materials. So really the intent here is that the town can collect any information from the applicant that will help us determine what types of things may be impactful on the community. And the more information the town has, the more ability you have to then place conditions to mitigate any potentially negative consequences or impacts to that land use. So some examples there on the right are, you know, a traffic study, parking studies. If there's a big project that has a lot of impervious surface, you know, what's the drainage look like? Where is that going? Is it going to flood my neighbor? How are you serving the project with utilities, you know, any geotechnical stuff? And then also as part of that narrative, we're going to ask, you know, depending on the land use, you know, is there noise associated with this project, lighting, smells, you know, other safety things. And this is all pretty common anywhere. You'd want to know those things beforehand. A good example of that is in some communities, we get applications to have a reception center in a, like a commercial strip center, like a strip mall. And the reception centers were not like super high end. So it's not like you were getting married or having weddings there. It was more for quinceañeras or birthday parties. And a lot of times those parties would run into the late hours of the night. So midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, if you have live music and people there drinking and, you know, you can kind of imagine how that could unfold. So it's important to ask all these questions up front during the application process so that when it's being reviewed by the Planning Commission and the Council, we know what to expect and what safeguards to put into place. And then another good one is any third-party approvals that may be needed. So sometimes you have to get licenses or certifications from the state before you can operate, or federally, depending on what you're doing. So the applicant is required to demonstrate those approvals before they come to the town. And then here's the review framework I referenced earlier. So, and we went over this last time in the training. So what a is the standard in the code for that specific use? What impacts could be anticipated? What evidence do we have that says that impact, you know, could be created, or what the scope of that impact will be? How can it be mitigated? And that will help us inform what conditions to place on the request. And just a reminder that mitigating a negative impact doesn't necessarily mean you have to eliminate it completely. You just have to make it less, less detrimental in that area. So again, conditions can address any of these things, and those are also spelled out in the code. The existing code did a pretty good job of clarifying what the town could place conditions on, but we've expanded it slightly just to capture more what if scenarios. And then again, the thought process is, you know, what are we mitigating? What evidence do we have to support that? You know, what standard do we have? And then really it's important to know, can the town really enforce that thing, right? So in theory, you could say, you know, place any condition you want, but it has to be measurable and enforceable in the long term. Because if for some reason that person doesn't comply with that standard, now you have to enforce it. And it's really difficult to enforce something that you can't measure objectively, or, you know, clearly demonstrate that they're in violation. Again, denials are very rare, but there are cases where it may be appropriate to deny a conditional use permit. So this is a table that summarizes the changes. So on the left-hand side, you'll see the general topic, and the middle column is what the current code says, and on the right-hand side is what's being changed. So right now, the code says once you get a permit for a conditional use, you have 180 days or 6 months to start that use. So let's say, you know, I have a home daycare and I get a conditional use approval. I have to actually start and get a business license for that daycare within 6 months. If I don't do that, then that conditional use approval will lapse and expire, essentially. The new code gives everybody 12 months to begin the use or establish the use, which is more common in case law and other communities. So that's one change. The next one is the same. If you've already established the land use, let's say you have your home daycare operating and then you close your daycare, you know, for 6 months. According to the current code, if your daycare is not operating for 6 months, then your permit expires and you would have to reapply for a new permit. The new code would expand that also to 12 months. The current code requires that at least every 5 years, every conditional use has to be reevaluated by the town. That's a little cumbersome and it's difficult to track. So again, with that example, if I apply for a daycare and I'm granted one, you know, within 5 years, I would have to go back through the process with the town to verify that I'm still compliant and that nothing has changed. So rather than making that an automatic requirement, we're just saying that we don't have to reevaluate conditional uses unless there's an issue or some kind of compliance matter that it would have to come back to the town. The enforcement is pretty similar, but a little bit more clear with this new draft. So right now, if there's non-compliance or a violation, the town sends a notice and then there's a potential revocation of their permit. The new draft would immediately suspend the use. So the town would issue a letter saying, hey, you know, we're suspending your permit until we can investigate and make sure that there's nothing going on here. That initial letter would provide a 10-day period for the applicant to address whatever's happening to cure the issue. And then if that doesn't happen, then it would proceed with the revocation or enforcement, fines, things like that. If you want to change a conditional use from what was originally approved, typically you just have to submit a new application, and that's what this new draft says. There is a provision in there that would allow the town council to modify a condition, but it would still have to go back to the meeting to do that. And then the appeals. So right now, if the Planning Commission approves a conditional use and somebody doesn't like that decision, the appeal would go to the town council, which is now illegal in Utah. You can't appeal something to the council. So since the council is going to be making the decision, the new appeal process would be subject to the appeals hearing officer, essentially, with the town. So rather than having it go to the council, it would go to the hearing officer, who would then determine the outcome of the appeal. So last slide is, you know, what stays the same, what gets clearer. We've gone over this. I think it's really just tightening up the standards and tightening up the process that you already have and actually writing it out and having it codified in your code as to what you're doing. So with that, I'll take any questions. I know the draft was a lot of material to get through, and I'm happy to pull that up and run through it if you guys have specific questions on the actual draft and what's in there. And we'll go over this again next week, and I'll prepare a staff report that outlines, you know, the big changes and what things are different than the current practice.
So I have a question regarding the permit, and maybe because I really guess never, I don't think since I've had like a permit come to me that I recall. But like, is there like things like the initial, like certain guidelines, like a contract with that person on their permit that they hold themselves accountable instead of them just us saying what was in this? If we have some things like, well, one of the things you pointed out, like just to hold them accountable for if they do make changes, mm-hmm. or am I making any sense? Probably not, but.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. And I think it's assumed that anybody that applies for something with the town, what they state and include in their application is what the town is approving. So if they change anything from what they've presented, that would require the town to then reevaluate the decision.
But is the applicant are they like known, like, hey, if anything changes, like, this is what you have to do, or like we can suspend your mm-hmm. your permit?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a great question. Let me pull it up here.
Have we even had someone with permits since I've been here?
Make sure my screen is on.
A landfill runs up with a conditional use permit.
What does it mean?
The landfills.
Okay.
So, and theirs was, theirs is a little bit different, but IRL is a landfill and so is North Point, and both of them, the attorneys worked with it together, and there was a lot of discussion about whether Planning Commission should approve it or whether Town Council should. We didn't feel like we had the support of the, I don't feel like the Planning Commission was involved enough to approve the landfill permit, and I felt like that's such a big thing that our town operates off of that someone needed to be pretty heavily involved. It was a pretty extensive process to do that. But in our code as well, it said that every home-based business was a conditional use permit as well. And you probably remember this, Dave, like it was a pretty hashed out conversation, but it's home-based businesses should not be just an automatic conditional use permit, because it was kind of a way of just letting businesses go on that didn't have any regulations or anything. Like Resurgence Auto was a conditional use permit, and it's just a handwritten note that says, here you go.
Yeah, we need something else.
So I'm getting what you were saying, Jamie, about, I guess we could call it a compliance checklist. So when we set out, when we approved that, they apply, they would have to have a checklist of all the compliance issues.
Yes.
So that we have that to mm-hmm. reference in future. So if anything is in violation, we know it's a quick way to look and make sure they're still complying.
Well, because like if you go to the doctor's office, you've got all these forms, like, okay, if you miss an appointment, you're going to be charged $150 or whatever, and you have to initial right there. So
right.
It's like you have this packet that they can't just be like, even though they should read this or whatever, but they're not going to.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a thing that goes with it, that there's autograph, there's no confusion. Yeah.
Right, and that's
and
a really good question. So generally the way the applicant is made aware of all that stuff is, you know, during the application review itself, we're communicating with them and asking them a lot of questions. The biggest pieces for them that will be helpful is the staff report. So when it goes to the Planning Commission, the staff will prepare a report that summarizes exactly what the use is, what they're proposing, you know, attach the application, and include an analysis of what the code says and compare it to what they want to do, and then obviously the final recommendation. And then after the council approves something, the staff then would issue an approval letter listing all of its special conditions. So, you know, it would say, hey, your conditional use was approved to operate this business subject to these sections of the code, in addition to these special conditions that were also added. And then we would list those in the approval letter. So the important part here is that we're creating a framework to have a clear record so that there's, you know, written record evidence, recordings, minutes from meetings, so that if there is a compliance issue, it's easy for someone to go back and just pull up their approval letter and say, well, you're not doing what your approval letter says, right? And that's delivered to the applicant. So there's a lot easier enforcement tools because it's very clear to the applicant exactly what's approved and what's not. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, which he would be the review person. So he will review everything before.
Okay, I got another question on a different subject. The applicant comes in, they have an application, they want to do something. Okay, now we've got to have all these studies done to make sure that it's not going to be a problem. Whose burden is it to pay for these studies?
There's the applicant.
It's on them.
Yes.
Okay, now, does that create a conflict? They're going out paying for a study, so they're going to go shopping for someone to give them a positive study.
We,
rather than an unbiased study, is what recourse do we have?
We can do that, and then we send them the bill before they can be issued their permit.
Yeah, thank
that
you.
Sounds like a better idea, because
and that's how it's structured in our fee schedule, is that any cost to the planner or any other review that we need, we pass that cost on to them. So what we've done as Talos Property is an example of it. He's got to have inspectors come in and inspect the water line before we can give him a permit to do anything in the next step that he needs, or that he's got to pay that bill. And so we send him the bill, and I mean it's $5,000 a month for just the inspections to go on down there.
Okay.
But it's not the burden of the townspeople to pay that. So yes, if we need an engineer,
but we have a say in who is doing the
100%.
Who these expert inspectors are. And people doing studies.
Yeah, it goes through us for that reason.
And part of that too.
Yeah,
is,
I feel better about that.
It's not necessarily the town commissioning that or signing off, because then, you know, they could view that as a biased opinion as well, right? So generally, for example, with the traffic study, you know, they would get a licensed engineer in the state of Utah to stamp the study. So really, it's the engineer professional that's being bound by their professional code of ethics, and then, you know, stamping it, saying that yes, I stand behind this study. But there is, and I can make sure of this, that there's language in here that whatever information is submitted still has to be accepted by the town. So just because someone submits something doesn't mean that we're going to consider it valid. We may ask for a second opinion if it seems a little off.
Well,
but most of the studies, things would be more technical in nature. You know, like a sound study would be performed by a professional sound engineer, right? That would then do their analysis and have a very data-driven recommendation. But it's a great point, and I'll make sure that we capture that in this draft.
Bias could be both ways, too.
Well,
it's almost got to be the same way, because it's like if they're Joe Smoe from down the road that has an engineer, we should be able to accept that. If we don't accept it because we found something different, then we should pay for our study and make sure they do it right, and then it goes to them.
Well, we had, remember the conditional use permit that came through from NEO 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Do you remember we had WC3 look over their conditional use permit? That was to make sure that it all was the same. So they did their conditional use permit, they had everything that they thought was appropriate, then we sent it off to WC3 to review it, and then our attorney reviewed it too, and both of them came back saying, yeah, this was good, we would stamp what they approved, so there is the process in for that. It just depends on what engineers we send it to review it on our end. So it's actually like two of them that would do it, they can do it and save us money, and then we just review it.
Yeah, I like that. Either way, it works good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As long as there's a give and take there, so that we don't just get a biased study.
Yeah, and there was a couple of things that came back and it said, you know, we don't necessarily agree with that. And then if I remember right, Eniel came back and said, well, the reason for this was that they communicated and they were able to work it out.
Good.
Everyone's very honest.
Oh, yeah, everybody's honest.
Especially when your glasses are on here.
Everybody.
If that were the case, none of us would have a job, right? good questions. Any other questions or concerns, ideas, thoughts?
My only question was about the 5 years to keep it, but I think you answered that. So if they're not in compliance, we can at any time, right? So it doesn't have to be 5 years or what. So,
Jim, I thought when we were talking earlier today that 5 years was in regards to the town updating their code every 5 years. Are you saying that conditional use permits don't have an expiration of a certain time?
That's right. So based on state law, a conditional use runs with the land. But again, that's with the caveat that it doesn't lapse or expire. So if you're granted a conditional use permit, you know, in 1973 to have a storage yard, and you maintain that storage yard and never have it vacant for more than 12 months, you can continue to operate that. It's grandfathered, essentially. So the only way that one would go away is if they voluntarily abandon it for a year or more, or if they apply for a different use, essentially.
So the one with the landfill, it expires after 5 years. So what do we do? I mean, it says that it's up for renegotiation every 5 years. So what now?
Yeah, and then I'd have to talk with Brad to know what the actual agreement says, if it's the conditional use that expires, or if it's like a franchise agreement or other development agreement. But generally, the conditional use wouldn't expire, but the town could reevaluate to make sure that they're still operating within the bounds of the conditional use. Or if the use has expanded or has changed, then you could reevaluate. And we've had that happen in some cases where a business license gets issued, they're really successful in growing, and their initial impacts are more than what they had originally thought. You know, they're doubling the clientele, they're doubling the visitors, they have more employees. That change would be substantial enough to warrant a re-review of the permit.
Wouldn't they be under this if this is passed? So they wouldn't have to
comply with the state law, but the way IRLs is written, that they have to review it every 5 years. And so that 5 years is honestly probably coming up next year. But it takes, it's pretty, there's a lot to it to renegotiate. It's a pretty long contract. But I don't see
and the contract is probably separate than the conditional use part.
No, it's not.
And that's what I talked to Brad.
So it's not. That's the same conditional use permit.
Yeah. Well, that's something that we could. I mean, if that's the approval they were granted before, that's still in force, even if this is adopted. So if they got their conditional use reissued under these standards, you know, that could be a condition potentially that the town imposes again, is that they come back every so often to re-review the use. So just because it's not the default language in the draft doesn't mean that the town can't require it if there's a good reason for it.
Do we want to review it every 5 years?
I don't have any reason for
it. If they're in compliance, what are we?
That's kind of my thing, is why is it only limited to five? Why wouldn't it just be like, here it is?
The only thing that I would think that would maybe cause a little bit of issues is that there's language in there that addresses the road. You know, after so long, you're supposed to pave this much, and then it's kind of intertwined with North Point. They've got to pave so much. And so there's a few things there that could
change, because we could take if they don't do it, then we'd have to.
Well, I think periodically we probably need to just do a compliance review of their agreement. Even if we did that every 5 years, it doesn't actually need to expire. But then if they're not in compliance, then we
Yeah, and then there's
send them a letter, tell them they need to get in compliance.
Two amendments, if I remember right, dealing with it. So, but they've been really good to work with, so.
I guess you would want it if they weren't good to work with.
Yeah, if they weren't good to work with.
If they weren't doing their end of it or not being there, then you'd want a 5 year, because then it wouldn't be. 5 years is a long time if they're not doing what they're supposed to.
Right.
But if the road's in there and they're not in compliance, then you can.
By this, though, I mean, we have enforcement we can use if they're out of compliance with their CUP. So we can still go back and shut them down if they're out of compliance at any time.
Well, with the new one.
But it's going to be a legal battle.
Yeah.
And I'm not assuming that at all. So IRL's been nothing but great to work with. So that's all I'm saying is there could be a little bit of some issues there.
And I don't have, I like getting rid of the 5 year, but I also like the idea of us just doing an internal audit periodically, whatever that time frame may be, to make sure they're complying with their agreement.
So is that something you'd want to add to the ordinance?
I don't know. Jim, what do you think? Does it need to be in there?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Generally, that step of it would be as part of their business license review. I'm guessing they have some type of a license to operate every year they have to renew. So that the conditional use really establishes the framework for what rules they have to abide by. And then if they renew their business license, you know, every year the town could say, okay, well, let's make sure that you're still compliant with your conditional use. And everything's in check. So that's maybe a better mechanism.
Yeah, I think that's a better way to do it.
They expire.
They review their business on their business license if they're not compliant.
Yeah, which that is.
That would give you a year to year.
Actually, yeah. I mean, that's part of the review when they send in their business application as we review it.
If we're doing that, then what do we need the 5 year for?
Yeah, you're exactly right.
It's probably just being educated to know where to look for it, to do it every year on the business license.
But I like the idea of having kind of a spelled out checklist that's easy for the staff to go through on each CUP. So the review process is streamlined.
And I think really it's just a matter of writing it down, because if somebody were to challenge anything that the town does, if it went to the courts would just read what the text says and say, did the town do what the text said? And if the answer is yes, there's nothing really to talk about, right? It's really difficult when the town is, you know, doing things that aren't necessarily written down or spelled out in the code. So this helps clarify and provide some protections for everybody in that regard.
I don't know if you could write a list down, like you would just have to read the permit.
Read what the agreements were in
the conditional use. Read the permit and the business license folder and then just review it. That's essentially a list, right?
Yeah.
So. Yeah, because if there's impacts, as the mayor mentioned, with, you know, road construction or maintenance or things like that that are ongoing, those types of things could be captured through the business license renewal fee or like a disproportionate fee. A lot of times are charged from businesses that have a bigger impact than a typical business would. So a good example is like a lot of times a Walmart, I know you guys don't have one, probably don't want one, but a Walmart is a retailer and they generally pay a business license fee based on the square footage. But a lot of times they also have a huge disproportionate fee because there's a lot of police calls from theft and other things. So it sucks a lot more city resources than a typical store. So they pay a lot more every year to renew their business license to help make up for that suck in public resources. So something like that could be considered as well with the landfill or other uses that, you know, generally have an ongoing demand on city resources. So those things could be captured with the business license, not necessarily through the CUP process.
We got any other questions on this that we want to bring up?
No.
Are we good with it?
Burn,
fall, sleep. So I think we've kind of gone through item two here, discussion on the conditional use permit ordinance. If we don't have any more discussion on that, then we could move on to item three.
Thanks, Jim.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate you guys.
Thank item you. Number three is right to farm. What kind of discussions do we have on that?
I guess what maybe we do have one in the code, but I feel like it probably could be readdressed. I think it's okay, but, and I will be fully honest, I haven't had a chance to read what was sent out to you guys, and I don't think Jim has had a chance to read it either to see if it was good.
We did some.
I haven't seen anything on it.
You haven't seen anything?
No.
I think it was shared.
Was it?
I'm pretty sure it was shared.
Wayne?
It was shared with me.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was shared somewhere with you guys. Either way, I felt like we needed to get this conditional use permit passed right now. The right to farm is not being violated. We have something in place.
Don't we already have something in place?
We have something in place.
Okay.
I'm not saying let's put it on the back burner, but we do have something in place, but I didn't feel like it was, I haven't had a chance to read through it. Cody wasn't here, and so I said, let's take it off the agenda for a minute until we get through this.
Where is it?
Right. Wayne, do you have any comments on that? Did you have a chance to look into it at all?
Yeah, there are some solid things in there that protects the right to farm. I thought about maybe, you know, a guy should be able to run his headlights at night. Maybe we should put some of that in there. Cody made up a little presentation, and I forgot to let her do it last meeting, and then I was going to let her do it this meeting. This wasn't intended to take a ton of time, just that we have something there. When one of our town members asked us about like a farm protection
zone,
and we have some stuff in place already. I think it probably could just be strengthened and be used there instead of having to do a separate zone. But and that was just a... It's just a primer of a discussion. It's not imperative that we do some big move right now, but just, does anybody have any thoughts on it? I think we ought to be able to, should Vern be able to go out and farm at night?
Absolutely.
Or anybody else that has hay ground and wants to run a baler at 4 in the morning, should they be able to do that?
Absolutely.
What's faulting them from doing it now?
Isn't this right to farm a state? It's a state thing, isn't it, when you look it up? That's part of the state?
There's a state code.
A state code?
It is, yeah.
That protects a lot of the farmers. We don't have a right to farm in our code.
Is there any precedent that's been set for a farm that's been running for years and years that gives them protections against someone coming in saying that you can't do that when they're grandfathered in?
State.
I think state protects everything you want to do with the farm.
So we just need to look into it some more. I just wanted to bring it up and chat. Because again, Cody had a presentation that she kind of put some time into. She's obviously not here tonight, and that's, it is what it is. It's all good. I still appreciate her doing it. But we don't need to have a big, deep, dark discussion about it right now. All I can tell you is I don't want to see the people that do farm in the town pressured by other people in the town or people that may move to town to stop doing what they're doing. Yep. I like the rhythm of the baler at 4 in the morning with the window open. I just do, yep. But other people, I guess, don't.
Too bad. I'm the closest neighbor, and I don't mind it, so if somebody else does,
I haven't heard it.
The baler was gone before they were here.
Turn your brats on, Bert.
We need to get some new LED lights for the baler, not these old farm ones that don't work. Let's get the LED ones on there.
Hey, just let these towns let me.
We'll trick that. We'll trick that tractor out
at 4:30 in the morning because I'd rather strip it at 4:30 than noon. So, but I'm pretty sure in American Fork, it was my grandpa's, but my Brent runs it now, and they want that out. But it's that, and the state protects them there. So they have silos, everything, and they're mad about it. The people moved in all around by the temple, so they can't do nothing about it.
I just think Vern wants us to make sure that we're protecting the farm, and I agree with everything he's looking at us. Let's make sure it's done right, and I think that's all.
Because there's nothing saying we can't add more than what the state does, correct?
Correct.
I mean, we can do whatever we want. So if we don't, if we look at what the state says and what we have, and if it's not good enough, we just add to it.
Yeah.
Basically, we were asked to look into an ag protection zone, and I didn't know it, but we already had some stuff. So I brought it forward. We can look at it, think about it, and have some ideas. Maybe down the road when we have a little less pressure on us, we can get some suggestions from Jim, and maybe we can look into some stuff ourselves and then make a move at that point.
Well, that sounds like a good way to proceed.
Yeah.
I think we do need to have some strong protections in place for activities that have been gone on historically in this town, and so they can continue to go on.
At least make it so it's no question.
Yeah. It's like Jim was saying, everything's got to be written down and itemized, so there is no question about it. So we need to make sure that we do that, I guess.
We ready?
Any other?
I don't know. I still
anything else?
Wayne to show up. Yeah.
You stick around.
Just loving you from Indiana, baby. He's
flapping his wings on his way.
Are you going to a Beaver game?
Okay, if that's all we've got on that, need a motion. Item 4.
I make a motion to adjourn.
I second that.
All in favor?
Kelton, yes.
Tyler, yes.
David, yes.
Jane, yes.
Wayne, yes.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
7:42.
Good job, guys. The session recording has stopped.
What's this for?
Is this
just for? We got you. We got an officer that'll protect you.
It's
right there.
Fire starter?
What's this for? You guys need to get newspapers for fire start, not like cross back.
I want y'all to read this.
Is this what it's for? What is it?
We're going to have a meeting.
Rural community consultants?
It came in the mail.